Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is your host, Chastity Melvin. And today we will have one of the most decorative players in the building, played in the WNBA. She played overseas in Australia. She played in Korea. She played in Russia. She is a 6'6 point forward, and she played her entire career for the Seattle Storm. Lauren has just recently retired playing the game of professional women's basketball due to knee injuries, back injuries, and just playing the game for such a very long time. She's announced retirement from the love of her life, basketball. It took her all over the world, gave her friendships that will last forever, and she's thankful for everyone for being there. The 12 seasons with the Storm were the best years of her life. She did mention that. She was in the Olympics. She has silver medals, bronze medals. She has one world gold medal where she beat USA. And she's now performing camps and clinics. And she has her LJ15 Elite camps. And they've been sold out, so she's doing really well with her camps and, you know, providing camps and clinics for kids in Australia. 10 to 17 years of age with any skill level. She's played with the Canterbury Caps forever, and she's been a basketball ambassador for Australia. She's been a role model for other Australians looking up to her. You know, they've given her the confidence that they can go abroad and play in overseas. And let's just listen real quick to an interview where she talks about retiring and from the game she loves. We can talk about that. She averaged 13.7 rebounds with the UC Capitals, 2012 WNBA, 10 points, 5 rebounds. Her achievements, Lauren Jackson's achievements include 6 championships, the WNBL, Australian League, 4-time MVP, 6-time All-Star, 4-time Grand Final MVP. In the WNBA, Lauren Jackson was a 2-time champion in 2004 and 2010. So, it's really sad to say, it's sad to see her go. She's 3-time MVP, 8-time All-Star, 7-time All-WNBA First Team. EuroLeague, she has 3 EuroLeague championships, 2-time EuroLeague All-Star, 2 Russian championships, 1 Spanish championship, and 1 EuroLeague Final Four MVP. She's 3 Olympic silver medals, 1 Olympic bronze medal, 1 World Championship gold, and 2 World Championship bronze, 1 Commonwealth gold. We are excited to have Lauren Jackson on the show today. I'm so excited, and probably one of her most memorable memories is I pinched Lauren Jackson and in a game I'll never forget. So in 10 minutes, we're going to have Lauren Jackson call into the show. Stay tuned. She'll be available soon, and we're going to talk with her and chat it up with her, see how that goes with her. We're going to be excited to have her on the show. Very, very excited. We'll call now. And Rick, stop.
Sorry, I'm not available to take your call right now.
Oh, no. Come on, Lord. 1 second, everyone. We'll be right back.
Hello.
LJ.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, it's Chaz. Thanks for taking time to talk with me today. You got a few minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, cool. I just called you from my Skype. I figured it out. I'm so smart, you know?
Okay, I don't even have Skype. I'm such a loser, but anyway.
No, I don't even use it anymore either, but I got on the show and they were like, oh, you can't make international calls. I'm like, oh, okay. So let me figure it out. Anyways, everyone, welcome to the show. We have Lauren Jackson live and in full effect calling in from Australia. Congratulations on a fabulous career. When did you wake up and decide, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore?
Look, to be honest, it's like been the hardest couple of weeks of my life. Like when I didn't actually decide it was my retirement, Basketball Australia wanted me to go on to Rio, and you know, my knee literally gave out when I was in China, and then I had an ACL tear in December, and then I got a massive infection in January, and so it was going to be really tight anyway. So Basketball Australia funded me to stay in Canberra to rehab and everything, and I was reevaluated 2 weeks ago, and the doctor said to me, "There's no way I'll ever step on a basketball court again." And I knew it was coming, but when it happened, it just broke my heart. Like I was shattered, you know, and so that's how it happened.
Wow, that's so unfortunate. Talk a little bit about all the injuries you kind of had during your career. What do you think it just came from playing so much and start? I know you started out, for those of you who don't know, you started out playing professional at the age of 16. Do you think that maybe contributed to it, and then playing year round, the WNBA back and forth? Tell us a little bit about the strenuous.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that, you know, when people talk about gender equity and things like that, you know, as female basketballers, to be professional, we still have to play year-round, and we don't have the luxury of being able to rehab our bodies in that time. And I think once I hit sort of 28, 29, my body just gave out. You know, I fractured my back in a game in America, and they thought it was nothing, and I kept playing. I played for 5 days, and then I fainted at the end of a Connecticut game, and then they said, oh, yeah, we'll get you x-rays, and then found I had 2 fractures, and then so that was sort of the start of the end. And that was in 2009. And I was able to come home and rehab it properly, my back. And then obviously in 2010 in the WNBA, we won the championship and I got MVP. And MVP of the finals. And then my Achilles was so bad then I couldn't walk. So it was shocking. So it's been horrible, you know. But, you know, I love the sport more than anything. And it is. It shatters you, you know?
I can't say I know about the injuries. I was pretty blessed with injuries from not having them. But I do understand how you fight through playing year round because you love the game so much. You just don't want to be away from it. I played year round, so I definitely do feel you on that. Speaking of your love for the game, tell our listeners a little bit about growing up. I know both your parents played on the national team for Australia. When did you like start getting into it, and when did you decide basketball is what I love, basketball is what I want to do?
You know, my mom actually gave birth to me, and then 2 weeks later, we were on a bus traveling so she could play a game. Like, you know, that's unheard of these days. People normally take a couple of months off and get their body right. You know, women obviously know how, you know, it would affect them. But, yeah, 2 weeks later, I was at a basketball court. So I've been around basketball my entire life, sleeping under bleachers when they were playing for Australia, for Albury, where we live. It was just... Basketball was just in my blood. So when I was about 2 years old, I think I told my auntie that I played for Australia. And then, you know, my grandmother used to cut down all my mum's Australian uniforms for me, and I'd wear them around like I was some sort of – I was a real brat of a kid. I really was, because I thought I was better than everyone else. But then I realised when I got a bit older, I wasn't, obviously. but, look, I've had a fantastic career. And, you know, going to America and playing in that league made me just – number one, a better person. Number two, the best player I possibly could have been, despite the injuries. And number three, it shaped me, you know. It made me, I love you guys. I love Seattle. I love America. And I hate traveling. I hate being away from home. So that became my second home, and I loved it.
Awesome. Talking about your parents and they played, which parent is your game most similar to, or do you take a little bit of from both parents?
Yeah, you know, I think I got a bit of both, because my mom, she was a post player and she was really tough, you know, had elbows and just she still holds records at LSU, you know, and Sylvia Fowles played there. Like a lot of the girls that have been on the national team played there, Simone, and my mom still holds scoring records and rebounding records. She was great, like inside the paint. And then my father was more of a sort of 3-4 player. He was really athletic. He could jump out of the building and had an amazing jump shot and everything. Obviously, I wasn't so much like him in terms of, well, I got a bit of my athleticism from him, definitely. But I think I'm more my mom, you know?
Awesome. I think your mom would like that answer better anyways. So we'll go with mom. Mom's rule. Yeah. Mom's rock.
Well, you know, you played against me.
Yeah, I think you're multidimensional, so I think you get both from both equal talent and skills from both of them, and it's great. When you first found out, you know, and you started thinking about, wow, I can go play over in the WNBA, and you got drafted by the Seattle Storm, what was that moment like for you?
Well, I was so young, you know, and the 2000 Olympics was right before it, and I really didn't know that, I was very naive, so I didn't know that they'd be watching the scouts and Renee Brown and the league would be watching me play. Like, it never even crossed my mind, so I didn't know how big the draft was or anything like that. So, you know, I played in the 2000 Olympics, and in the final, that incident with Lisa Leslie's hairpiece happened.
Yes.
And I never did that intentionally, and I think anybody that knows me knows that I would not do that to someone. I didn't even know she had a hairpiece. I thought it was, I don't know, like, I wouldn't even consider that was, you know, I don't know. That's just who I am.
No, I definitely understand that. I was actually watching that game, and I told people, I'm like, overseas and European, they don't even realize our different hairstyles.
No.
Like, I would come every day, and they'd be like, Jazz, I love you cut your hair? And I'm like, they just don't even get it. So I definitely understand, and I told my friends, like, she had no idea that wasn't even Lisa Leslie's ponytail, you know?
Yeah, and I was actually doing an interview this morning with somebody else, and I told them, like, leading into the Olympics, like, from when I was 16, Lisa Leslie was my idol, you know? Like, and I thought she was absolutely stunning. Like, she was a stunning human being. She was beautiful. Like, I didn't know her as a person. She was beautiful. She was an amazing basketball player, everything I wanted to be. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden it was like, wow, she's so rude to me. Like, she's, like, she didn't give me anything. And so something happened, and I just sort of clicked, and I was like, no, I'm just going to go out there and play against her and not be intimidated or anything. And, you know, she's never acknowledged me once in her career, which is fine. Like, I get it. But, you know, we definitely had that massive rivalry. And so from that incident, I was so scared when I went over to the WNBA because so many people were like, you know, just giving me crap because they thought that I was, I don't know, something that I definitely wasn't. And I got into a league and I had a chip on my shoulder, but it was more coming from a place that I was scared, you know?
Yeah.
And so those first few years, I got a lot of technical fouls and I didn't make many friends and things like that. But I think once I sort of grew into it and started to realize that, you know, everyone's competitive and people just wanted to be there and love the game and everything. And I did have really beautiful friends on my team and other teams. And Cheryl Swoop sort of took me under her wing a bit as well. That's when I had the best time of my life and I started playing great basketball. And, oh, man, you guys are awesome. And I have a daughter that gets the opportunity to play over there because it definitely was the best thing that I ever did.
Tell me about the impact you had, you know, playing with Sue Bird and how much fun that was playing with, like, I think she's top one or two. You know, I love her and Lindsay both. You know, there's a lot of great point guards. And my biggest regret was not coming out to Seattle and playing with her before I signed back with Washington. But tell me about the impact of just playing with Sue and what she meant to you and your game.
Well, Sue and I became pretty close friends, like best friends. Probably because, you know, on court we had this chemistry and she's just the sort of player that she just knows what's happening. She can read things before it happens. Like, she's one of those point guards that just has that knack for knowing what to do. And she calms people down. And I think that was the great thing with us too, because I was sort of this really, like, rah, get in your face sort of player. And I never, you know, she would always settle me down, you know?
Yeah.
But as a player, like, she's the best point guard I have ever played with, flat, hands down. And, I mean, I don't even really know what to say because she's a leader. She's a beautiful person, and I miss her. I miss all of you guys.
What if you could think now, you know, going through – I coach. I'm a life coach now in post retirement, and I love the media and interviews and all that stuff too. So you'll figure out after this transition, there's different things you want to do. But thinking back, you know, we're both tall and growing up and playing a sport and just kind of sometimes feeling awkward and out of place. What would you tell young ladies about, you know, your transition and just going through those different things with your self-esteem and how you feel on the court and how you feel off the court?
Okay. You know, when I was younger, I was, you know, teased. I was my height when I was 15 years old, but I weighed about probably like 55 kilos. I was just all skin and bone, and I was 6'5". I come from a really small town in Australia, sort of in inland, and it was hard. Like, I was teased, and I don't know, like, it was really hard. And once I sport was my release, you know, even then. I just knew I was going to play for Australia, and that's sort of what I focused on. I wasn't a really good student or anything, but my passion was basketball, and I focused on that. And I ended up leaving my town and going to Canberra. And the minute I walked into the AIS when I was 15 years old, I felt like I was home. I felt like being around other athletes. I felt normal. I felt tall. They had one thing in mind, which was their sport and the Olympics and things like that. So growing up being tall is not easy, but I'd say just it's so much more powerful when you get older and you don't realise that in the workplace, in the sport, obviously in sport if that's what you want to do, but, you know, tall people have an advantage because it's sort of like a perception, you know, that I don't know. That's what I read anyway in the book, and I believe it too.
I totally agree, and that's what my niece is, an eighth grader. She's 6 foot, and she talks to me every day, and I just keep telling her, trust me, it's going to get better. And I think that's basically what you were summing up. Like, it gets so much better being tall.
It does. And, I mean, look, It's hard. I think men in particular find it very hard to deal with women that are taller than them, and it takes a very secure man to date a taller woman, or, you know, not be intimidated by a taller woman. But it is a powerful position to be in, and I would say just look forward to, you know, the rest of your life, because school is such a small part of it, you know.
Yes, I totally agree. If there was one thing you could change about your entire career, what would you change, if anything, or would you change anything?
My injuries. I would never have got injured. Look, you know, I really enjoyed my career, and I don't think looking back, I think the one thing that, I really enjoyed to have fun. Like, I just lived. Once I became a WNBA player and became a stalwart in the Australian team, like, I knew I was going to play for Australia. They weren't going to cut me or anything. I just sort of, I had fun. Like, I just lived my life. And it wasn't until I sort of got to 29, 30 when I realised that it's not about having fun all the time. Like, I need to focus on my body and focus on the things that, matter. And, obviously that was too late. But, you know, when you're young, you can't tell people to do things. You've got to learn. You've got to experience it. And that's how you become who you are. So I don't really have any regrets. But, you know, maybe I should have stretched more, or maybe I should have gone to the physio more, or maybe I should have listened to my body just a little bit more and taken time off when I needed to and not focused on the money. But, again, that's the problem with being a professional female athlete, is you have to go and play overseas to earn a living. So... But you do it and you love it.
Yes, we do. What's your most memorable moment? Is it the 3 silver medals? Is it that gold medal you got the World Games against USA? Or is it the 2 WNBA championships? What's your most, or maybe it's just when you were younger, what's your most memorable moment in your career?
Well, you know, I've got a lot, and every journey was different. And the championships in America were awesome, and I had the time of my life, absolutely. But, you know, like I said, my schooling years were really, really hard, and I was a bit of a deviant. I was gothic, you know, and I just, that's who I was. You know, I listened to Marilyn Manson. I wagged school. I was just not like the normal child. And my mom ended up dragging me out of school sports. So, you know, like, being this really awkward kid who nobody really cared about except the fact I was tall. When I was 15, she let me back into the school basketball team. And we won the state championship, and then we went on to the national championships in Canberra. And all the school came to watch this final, and, you know, I scored about, I don't know how many points I scored, it felt like I scored like 40 points or something, and we won the national championship, and I got back to Albury, and no one ever said another bad word to me for like 2 months for the rest of my schooling career. So that actually was the highlight of my life, and people cheered us, and we got respect, you know, and that's when I felt like, you know, it's funny, isn't it, how people are like that.
Yes.
You know, it is funny, but the thing is school, you get through it, and then you can go on to bigger and better things, so.
Awesome, yeah. That's an awesome story. It's very interesting, you know, we have similar stories, you know, growing up, just from listening to this interview, and this is just going to empower the young ladies and everyone listening, and that's what's so special about the ladies of the WNBA and what I really want to get across in my show and doing different things. We're such powerful, articulate, and just beyond athletics. We're just great women. And what do you think about the WNBA going into its 20th season? We got to talk about that. And, like, how would you like to see the league improve, and where would you like to see it go?
Look, I just would like to see some equitability with the men's league. I feel like at the moment we are getting ripped off, you know. It's a really demanding season. And I think in the 20th season it's going to be great to, you know, recognize the players and just what the WNBA is all over the world. It's given them women, young kids, young female kids, an opportunity to, you know, realize their dreams. You know, when I was 16... or 15 or 14, maybe, actually 14, yeah. I wanted to play in the NBA. That was my dream. And my parents were like, my parents were like, yeah, you can do it, blah, blah, blah. But everybody else was like, you're a woman. You can't do that. How are you going to do that? So the NCAA has given girls something to look forward to, something to strive to, and it should be celebrated. You know, families should celebrate that. And I think, you know, when a lot of men that put us down and say whatever they have to say, when they have kids that want to play basketball, they're going to change their attitude real quick. And, you know, that's what we need to do. We need to change attitudes and start socially making people aware. So, you know, gender equity, that's all I'm fighting for.
That's what we're all fighting for. And I think within time it will get there, but it's definitely all about it. I was just telling someone down at the Final Four this past weekend, we just have to change those attitudes. There's such a negative attitude from the sports media
yeah.
and different people about our league and about women in general playing sports, whether it's basketball, tennis, we see it in tennis, you know, every sport, soccer. We just got to change that attitude and make it more positive. Before I go, I was hoping you would say your most memorable moment was the time we played each other and you were kicking my butt and I didn't know what else to do and you were giving me these elbows and I kept telling the ref, we were in Seattle, look, she's elbowing me. Well, call it. And so I pinched you. Could you tell everybody about the time we played against each other? And I
I will never ever get that moment because...